Thank you very much. It's really a pleasure and really a wonderful honor, actually, to be here. I want to begin by offering a really sincere regret on behalf of our colleague and friend, Michel Rioux, who was to be at this panel, but for really very serious family reasons, cannot be here this morning. So I just would ask you all to keep her and her family in our thoughts today. It is, that said, a wonderful occasion. It's an occasion which should remind us all of the deep significance and influence that institutions have on our lives, because you should consider how we might approach this date if we were operating, for example, in Base 8. But we are all subjects of the great decimalization. So I was asked a few days ago by a friend of mine how I had met Carrie. I said, I forgot. That I fell in love. It happens. And so I am here for comparatively pure motivations. It's simply a deep personal affection and respect for Carrie Polanyi, transcending all academic concerns and considerations. My purpose is to honor dinners in Outremont and various bistro, trips up and down the world's steepest set of stairs to find at the top of them this utterly indomitable personality who usually was already in the company of some young journalist or citizen of the world who was attempting to gain insight into our times and taking careful notes. So I'm here to honor Carrie for a life of kindness and decency, for a worldview governed by an unshakable realism and an incorruptible integrity. And I should add, because I am in a similar position, also for her loyal and effective curation of the legacy of her eminent father, a task she has carried out with no detriment to her own insights and contributions. Carrie and I trace our origins to parallel and allied strands of a tradition in economics that privileges the study of history, the role of institutions, the principles of evolution. Hers, fair to say, is rooted in some sense in the intellectual and social complexities of her origins in Central Europe a century ago. Mine in the comparatively provincial, simple-minded, and overconfident Cambridge, Massachusetts of the 1950s and 1960s, but with deeper roots in the highly progressive agrarian southern Ontario backcountry from which my father came. A notable spirit of intersection, and we were talking about this last night in Carrie's room, a notable point of intersection in our trajectories bears mention, and this is the person of Nicholas Kaldor, professor at Cambridge, member of Kane's Circus, Hungarian, later member of the House of Lords, known alongside his fellow Hungarian Lord Tommy Balog as Buddha to Balog, who was naturally known as Pest. Carrie worked for Nikki on the strategic bombing survey in 1945, of which my father was a director. And at roughly the same age, 30 years later, I studied with Kaldor, mostly over Sunday roast beef dinners on Adams Road in Cambridge. He had the effect of framing for me what an economist should be: practical, independent, indestructible, incorrigible, indomitable, stubborn, and determined. I see these traits in Carrie, although I'm sure they were present beforehand. I will not try to summarize or to do justice to Carey's work. There has been a plethora of really excellent and comprehensive discussions of that already. But I will speak a bit about one particular topic, which has already been discussed here, but on which her insights have worked a transformation in recent years on my thinking. And this comes from her deep knowledge and familiarity of a region, the Caribbean, of which I knew very little. I'm sure, as I think about it, that my lack of appreciation of the place of this region in the history of our time has something to do with my father's own retreat from agriculture and the prejudices that were embedded in me as I was growing up. This is something I had to overcome. But it probably has a deeper root also in the reduction of economic history in our time to an academic afterthought, alongside the even more thorough obliteration of the history of economic thought. In any event, it was Carey, with her insight, clarity, and brilliance, who opened my eyes to the origins of modern capitalism in the sugar and slave economies of the Caribbean islands, precisely because these lay outside of and beyond the feudal structures of medieval Europe, and as such could become the domain of practically pure, unfettered property relations in all of their brutality, with the operation of the credit mechanism and the profit motive unconstrained by the institutions in the region from which the colonists came. This has something in common with the role played by borderlands and frontiers in the traditions of Texas institutionalism, with which I've become familiar in, since I moved to that once upon a time frontier, now almost 40 years ago. Once one sees this, of course, one cannot unsee it. So I had to roll back my teaching on the origins of capitalism. I had to de-Europeanize it, which means I had to get rid of a lot of tedious texts that should have come off the reading list a long time ago, and I had to put Carey Polanyi-Levitt right up there where my students could encounter this thought, and they absorb it very quickly because it's intuitive, because it makes sense. Because it really captures for us something deep, a deeper process of the way human societies evolve. So it aligns my teaching in Texas, I have to say, with a bit with Marx and Engels of the Manifesto and their discussion of the role of the discovery of the Americas in the evolution of the bourgeois system. And generally coming to an understanding which had previously, you know, I would say eluded me, but had not developed a mature concrete form of how globalization and financialization have been longstanding, ubiquitous processes against which we can stand effectively only if we build, as Carey Polanyi has, on the better and richer intellectual traditions of our time. And I do think, just to conclude, that there is, in fact, an emerging generation that is taking up this line of work and in this tradition. I could name a number of people who have, I think, whose work has just come to maturity or the beginnings of maturity, really from the emerging generation in the last few years. Almost all of them are women, by the way. I don't know why the men are not as highly represented as our gender should be in this matter. But that nevertheless, this is the reality of the situation. I would cite Michel Rieu. I would cite my friends Albina Asmanova. I would cite the young Clara Mattei's wonderful book on the origins of fascism and austerity. I would cite the work of Isabella Weber, which has certainly been acquiring. This is a very interesting phenomenon that's happening here. And I think a great deal of it can be traced back to the sense of spirit and the tradition and the influence of Carrie Polanyi. So, Carrie, once again, happy birthday. It was wonderful to see you last night. I love you deeply. And I think with that, I could retire from the stage and allow everyone here to make their way over to celebrate you in person. Thank you very much.
Well, we do have quite a bit of time, actually.